Blog Talk Radio.
Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911 unattended, 400 lower level near carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Rob.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age, blue jeans, no further.
Control 5 Frank, 401 is a route.
Well, good evening and welcome to another edition of the Private Officer Beat on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Glad that you are with us, and wow, we have a lot to talk about today, as always, and a lot of breaking news and interesting information to impart to you. But I do want to welcome those of you from afar and those of you across our nation here in the U.S., and we do appreciate all of the many listeners that we have, all of the great emails that we continue to get supporting the radio show and letting us know that, hey, somebody is listening. Somebody is listening somewhere. And like I've said before, it's always amazing to find out where people are and where they're listening. It's just it's gratifying that we have so many people out there who are interested in what's going on, not only in the security and public safety world, but in the POI world. I'm Rick McCann. I'm the founder and CEO of Private Officer International and Armor College, and I'm the host of the show, and I'm just excited to have another episode here to share with you. A lot of things in the breaking news. Unfortunately, we do have some security officer deaths also to report and some injuries and a number of things to go over with you. And also tonight, after a little while, we're going to be talking about putting your skills to good use and helping your community. And sometimes it's not all about money. Well, can you believe that we are in the big month of April? I guess I should tell you this breaking news. It's very important, especially for those of you who are members of Private Officer International. We last week inked a deal. Private Officer International will be sold as of May 3rd for millions and millions of dollars. And we have decided to issue a check to each member based on the number of years that you have been a member of POI, and those who are lifetime members obviously are going to get bigger checks, and we're going to share in the wealth, and we'll be sending those checks out to you. That's right, Private Officer International has been sold for multi-millions of dollars. We've worked hard for the last 10 years to grow this organization and all of the other companies associated with it, and now we're seeing the fruits of our labor. So those of you who have been with us, especially from the beginning, you're going to be getting quite a hefty check, and it'll be sent to you in the mail in the upcoming weeks. No, that's not true. Hey, who put this in the script? That's not true. We didn't sell Private Officer. Oh, this is a late April Fool's Day joke. Oh, my gosh. I see. Whoops. sorry, folks, especially those of you who are members of the association. I guess that check won't be coming anytime soon. April Fools. Well, we have to have a little fun on the program, and we've got to razz those of you who are longtime members and listeners. So, yeah, we apologize if we got your blood pressure up a little bit. But seriously, happy Easter, a little bit late. Hope that you had a great weekend. The weather was finally nice after having about 4 weekends of rain. Although it did have a little bit of inclement weather Friday and Saturday, it was usually in the overnight hours and the day was pretty sunny. So we are rolling right into spring. April is sprung. Spring is sprung. April is here. And POI has a lot going on in the month of April. What's going on, you might say? Well, in the month of April, we do have our yearly Private Officer Awards and also our induction into the Private Officer Hall of Fame. And that's always held on April 25th every year. So that's just a few weeks away. We also have a number of training events happening, and this is the official month that Armored College rolls out, and it will be live and available worldwide as an online school and a campus-based college, and we're very excited about that. After working for over 2 years to get that all lined up, and there was a lot of work, a lot of people involved in getting this to reality, to fruition. And of course, we do thank each and every member and company and person who has made this a reality. Private Officer International is all about training and all about preparing to do our job, to perform our duties in the manner that we're expected to, and to be safe while doing it. So we're very excited about what Armored College will bring to the table in the upcoming months and years. And I know that we're going to make a big difference. We really are. We have as an association, and we will as a college in the upcoming weeks. Speaking of college, if you're one of the students enrolled in the 16-week School Security and Safety Officer Program, well, I have to say congratulations because we're rolling into week 7. And I know it's been a lot of work, a lot of research, a lot of homework assignments. Those of you who think it was a cakewalk, you had another thought coming if you're a student because there's a lot of work to it. And it actually gets a little bit more intense as we go further and deeper into it. And then those of you who will take the follow-up instructors program, a lot more work ahead. So this week is spring break. We're giving you a week off. Hope that you are enjoying your time and that it's a good week and that you'll have a breather. But prepare, because an exam is rolling out even as I speak. An exam is rolling out, and you'll need to complete it today. So other than that, enjoy your time. If you are interested in the 16-week School Security and Safety Officer Program, certification program, it is still available. We have left that as an open enrollment. Go to our website at www.privateofficer.com. You can enroll today. You'll start from square one, week one, and progress through. We hope to have a final graduation at the completion, and we want to include everyone in the course. Even if you enroll later, we want you to be involved as well. So if you are interested in this fantastic course, it is a college-level course. There's no two ways about it, no questions about it. There's a lot of work. A lot of research, a lot of homework assignments, but it will be well worth your efforts. And the follow-up instructors class will be completely free. It'll just cost you some more effort, some more time. So if you're interested, go to our website at www.privateofficer.com. We have a report to share with you here in a little bit about the month of March. What happened, the injuries and death of security officer, Unfortunately, as I stated at the beginning of the program, we did have two security officers killed this week, one in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and one in the San Francisco Bay Area of California. Both security officers were shot to death. This month, we're in April now, but for the month of March, saw three security officers killed in the line of duty. I don't want to say that that's low because, you know, one is too many, but we have seen in the last month or so a little slowdown in the number of deaths. That doesn't mean that there's not a large number of injuries or use of force incidents, assaults, because there has been. In fact, over the weekend, a couple of things happened in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, just outside of Cleveland. An IHOP security officer who was an off-duty deputy bailiff from the Cleveland Municipal Court was assaulted during a scuffle with four women. Somehow, and I don't know how, Gary Williams, the security officer, fell, and in the process, his gun discharged, shooting and killing Nadia Williams. Miss Williams was shot in the head. There's a lot of controversy over what happened. There's even more controversy after yesterday's arrest because police, who did originally take the security officer in custody, now have charged the woman's companions who were involved in that fracas. Three women have been charged with involuntary manslaughter, inciting violence, vandalism, and robbery. Now, I don't know where the robbery came in. There's a lot of speculation that this is all political because it's a deputy bailiff, which is like a deputy sheriff at the courthouse. And for that reason, the three women have been charged with all of these felonies. This is something that we're monitoring, and we're definitely going to be keeping you abreast of this. Also, a deadly shooting incident involving a security officer. This one happened in California. Police say that a security officer shot and killed a man during a scuffle with a man and a woman at an apartment complex. Police say that the two suspects were asked to leave the property. They refused, got into a scuffle with security. Somewhere along the way, he pulled, after spraying them with pepper spray, he pulled his collapsible baton, like an asp, and lost it in the scuffle. The female suspect picked up the baton, struck the security officer, and then the male involved in this brawl got possession of the baton, and the security officer pulled his weapon, shot, and killed the suspect. At this point, both of these cases, the one in Ohio and the one in California, have both been referred to the district attorney's office and probably will go to the grand jury for possible indictment. I will tell you that in the California case, some in law enforcement that I spoke with believe that this is a good shooting. It may or may not have been. The security officer in that situation may have had other options. A baton can be considered a deadly weapon, and we weren't there. We don't know what happened, but it may have been a justified shooting. In the Cleveland Heights, Ohio situation, we don't know. We don't know exactly what transpired, but according to the police report, the security officer's gun discharged when he fell to the ground. So that tells me it must have been out of a holster. It must have been in his hand. Why would you have a firearm when no weapons were produced? Some say now that because the women have been charged with robbery and other felonies, that the security officer had a right to have his weapon at hand, that it was a deadly force option. I don't believe that it was, and we are looking further into this. And like I said, we'll be following this. Another shooting, and this one happened in Oklahoma City, And, well, listen to this one.
Guard is ready to share his story. He shot a would-be armed robber at a Kroger in Normal earlier this month. It sparked a debate over whether he should have pulled the trigger. Kim Behrens has his story. Andrew Smith can't believe how life changes in the blink of an eye.
At that point, it's not my safety, it's everybody's safety.
As he looks at this seemingly ordinary Kroger grocery store, the memories come flooding back to a dangerous situation just a few weeks ago.
Having a weapon pointed at you is scary.
Smith had been hired to guard the business on East College Avenue after two recent armed robberies.
We always say weapon in hand is a weapon in play, and if somebody's got a weapon after you've identified themselves, they're willing to use it.
This exclusive surveillance video shows the alleged suspect walking into the store.
When you look up, you see somebody with a mask, and then you just take a second, like, is this really happening?
Pulling out what appeared to be a gun, turning the quiet business into a crime scene.
You start trying to make the best informed decision you can with the information you have.
Smith says he shouted to put the weapon down multiple times, but that didn't happen, so he fired.
During the situation at that time, I made the most informed decision I could, and I never regret it. I never will, because he put me in that situation, and I feared for my life, and I feared for everybody else's.
And in this particular case, this was a attempted armed robbery of a Kroger grocery store in Normal, Oklahoma, and obviously nothing was normal that evening. The security officer, seeing a handgun, did fire after giving the person multiple chances to drop the firearm. The sad situation in this case was that the firearm turned out to be an airsoft weapon, not a real weapon, but of course the security officer involved had no way of knowing, and he did use the right amount of force. Unfortunately, it was deadly force, but he had no way of knowing that this was not a real weapon. In this particular case, the security officer stopped what might have been an event where other people were injured, and had it been a real weapon, it makes no difference. There was a weapon in play, and at this point, you don't have time to ask, hey, is this a gun? Do you have is that a BB gun, airsoft? No, you have to use the right amount of force, and that's where training and common sense comes into play. I do want to also mention that Private Officer International introduced last month a Deadly Force Evaluation Response Team, DFERT for short. We have been called a couple of times since the inception of the team. We have five skilled members, including a forensic expert, and we are willing to travel to do an evaluation or an assessment any place in the U.S. And what we'll do is, if you have an employee or you yourself are involved in a deadly force situation, doesn't have to be a death situation, just a use of force that is a deadly force, we will evaluate it first locally in our office, and if necessary, then do a secondary assessment live and in person. We're available 24/7. Check out the website at privateofficer.com or send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. If you'd like more information, I highly suggest that you keep this information close at hand, because you just never, never know in this day and age what's going to happen. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come right back.
Listen to WPOI Radio, sponsored by Private Officer International. Now don't go away, because we're coming right back with some more news, information, and free training for you that you're not going to want to miss.
We spend lots of time online. We text, we comment, we share. It's a big part of our lives. But communicating with someone online is just like talking to them in real life. Everyone appreciates politeness, and no one likes it when people make fun, spread gossip, rumors, or lies. The fact is, some people do try to hurt others online. It's called cyberbullying, and it's a lose-lose situation. It makes the person being harassed feel bad, and it makes the bully look bad. It might lead to trouble with school authorities or even the police. If someone's harassing you online, it's important not to respond. That's because bullies are looking for a reaction. Block them if you can. Ignore them if you can't. If it continues, leave the evidence and ask an adult for help. And don't be afraid to stand up for yourself or to stand up for someone else being cyberbullied. This behavior usually stops pretty quickly when someone speaks up. And when you're communicating online, remember to treat people the way you'd like to be treated. Know how to handle yourself, because being online is part of your life. So stop and think before you click.
Be advised, 923 is coming with the suspect and the victim. This, West.
You are listening to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Brought to you by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization. Broadcasting today from Studio A.
All right, thanks a lot for being with us here on the Private Officer Beat and on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. We were speaking a moment ago about deadly force incidents, and unfortunately they are on the rise. And with that, sometimes security officers don't use the right amount of force. They use unreasonable force. And it's because of a lack of training, a lack of information, a lack of experience, a lack of knowledge, a lack of common sense sometimes. That's why we strongly urge that security companies regularly do simulation training, scenario-based training. There's not one state here in the U.S. that requires any type of skill-based, scenario-based training for security officers. Even in the states of California and Texas and other states that have a reasonable minimal training requirement for licensed security officers, it's all classroom-based. There's nothing hands-on, nothing skill set about it. So we recommend, and we're going to begin pushing as legislation in at least 36 states that license security officers, that skill set training be added. You can't qualify at the police academy, the fire academy. You can't even become an EMT without demonstrating your proficiency, without passing a number of skill-based exams and tests. The same thing for other professions. You can't be a plumber, an electrician, a hairstylist. You can't do any of these jobs without performing skill training, proficiency test, showing that you are capable in the real world of doing the job. And it's one thing to be sitting in a classroom. There are many people who are book smart, but they don't have any common sense or any skill training. They just can't get it out in the field. And that happens sometimes in law enforcement as well. They do well in the academy, they graduate, and within the year, they're out of the police business because they can't handle the street. Certainly when security officers have minimally 24 to 40 hours of training, that's just not enough for the real world. And in these situations, as deadly force incidents continue to increase, we need to increase the training requirements. And yes, that means training people sometimes out of our pocket. Sometimes, the clients don't usually pay for this kind of stuff, but it's necessary. It also means that we have to recruit differently, pay more, and really up our game in the private security business. Private Officer International has developed 8 real-life scenarios that we're training, and we announced a few weeks ago about our skill set training, and we're going to be networking with a number of schools and colleges to implement that skill-based training and 8 real-life scenarios. Now, we can't train for everything. That's impossible. I mean, there's so many things that could happen, you know, day-to-day, location to location. But we can train for the incidents that we're most likely to encounter, that we're most likely to be involved in. And so that's what POI and Armor College is going to set out to do. We're going to train for 8 real-life scenarios that can be used for a variety of situations, incidents that you might run into. Like I said, we're going to begin to work with and network with trainers and schools, both training security training schools as well as colleges across the country to implement skill-based training. And we're also going to ask the state's legislation to enact this as part of the minimum requirements of security officer training. There's only one type of security officer training that requires, by law, demonstration of skills, and that's firearm training. That's the only part of any security officer minimal training that requires demonstration, and I believe we need to change that. I developed a while back a triangle theory, and every day this comes to play. The triangle theory is this: training, common sense, and tools. You can't do the job, any job. It doesn't matter if it's security or being a plumber or being a firefighter or being a mechanic. You can't do the job without having that triangle in place. You need that proper training to do the job well. But you can have all the training in the world. You can know everything. You could go to every course, go to, you know, pass every program, go to every school possible. But if you don't have common sense, when you're faced with real-life situations, you're going to flunk. You're not going to be able to respond properly. You're not going to be able to be proficient. You're going to make bad choices. People are going to get hurt. You could be killed. You can have all the training and all the common sense, but if you don't have the right tools to the job, you don't have the right weapons, the right equipment, then the training and the common sense might help you, might save you, might serve you well in situations. But without the proper tools, you won't be able to perform the job to the level that you should. And that could be a life situation. It could be either a situation where you're in harm's way, or it could be a life-saving situation if you have the right tools. You have all the tools in the world. You might have all the tools in your toolbox, all the tools on your gun belt. You could have the newest, best equipment, the best technology. But if you don't have the training to use those items or the common sense when to use those items, those tools aren't going to help you. Again, you're going to be in a bad way. You're going to be facing a serious situation, criminal charges, civil charges. You'll be, you know, tools won't save you. You got to have all three of the triangle theory: the training, the common sense, and the tools. Just recently, in fact, over the weekend, one of our members, lifetime members, and also the state director in Montana, Ken Kingman in Billings, had a situation. Him and his partner were on patrol. They run a patrol service in Billings, Montana. They saw a fight. It was not on their property, but they knew that it was pretty violent, and they called 911, and some training that they had heard and a radio show program where I did some training a while back kicked into play, and they began to think about what was said during that training, and, you know, they used that to guide them in what they did. It's essential that you have good common sense, that you have the training and skills and the tools to do the job. All right, well, I'm going to step off the soapbox now. A couple of news items I do want to tell you about. Hot topics in the news: Connecticut announced today that they are going to, or actually yesterday on the 2nd of April, that they are going to enact the strictest gun law in the nation. Connecticut lawmakers announced a deal on what they call one of the toughest gun laws in the country, proposed to take effect as soon as it can be signed into law. This is in reaction to the December mass shooting where 20 children and 6 educators were left dead by a crazed-out man. The proposal unveiled includes new registration requirements for existing magazines that carry 10 or more bullets. The family of many of the people who were slain said that they were disappointed that they didn't want any high-capacity magazines in the state of Connecticut at all. The package will also create legislation that will create an offender registry, an ammunition registration, a magazine registration. It sounds like it's impossible really to regulate or enforce, but again, this is one of those knee-jerk reactions. Many states are jumping on the bandwagon to outlaw what they are calling assault rifles, and as we've discussed previously, there are already laws, federal and state, on the book which regulate ammunition and large-capacity magazines and automatic weapons. The weapons that were used in this mass shooting and all other mass shootings in the nation are 99.99% not automatic weapons. They're semi-automatic. And eliminating high-capacity weapon magazines will not in any way reduce the number of lives. A demonstration on YouTube, which we posted on our forums a while back, clearly demonstrated that somebody proficient with firearms could take 3, 4, 5, 10 bullet magazines and quickly drop the empty clip and continue firing. It's not, you know, this is not going to save lives. The other thing is, as we've discussed, criminals don't follow the law. You can regulate, you can have all the laws in the world, but criminals will always break the law. The average citizen is law-abiding and not the culprits in the shootings. It's just that simple. So we really are going to be watching this because many states are jumping on the bandwagons. I fear that there will be federal legislation put in place that will ban, even for private security, any magazine that has more than 10, capacity of 10 bullets. And this would not be a good thing for our industry or for the protection of our life. And we're definitely going to be writing a letter to the NRA to help us to, yeah, I mean, if this passes as federal legislation, we need to have law that security officers that are licensed and qualified would be omitted from this legislation. All right, we also have to, this week, say happy birthday to Kara Ryan. She's 21. George Myers in Charlotte, North Carolina is 70, retired security professional. William Beckton, 54, California. He is a loss prevention director. Katie Hoff is in Atlanta. She is a legal student and security officer. And we also want to recognize this week Frank Cooper and Steve Cook for completing the Certified Asset Protection Professional program. And this is also a very intense program. We've upped our game here. We have put more training requirements there and more modules. So that's really quite the program as well. A couple other quick items out of the news. I don't know if you've seen this or heard about it, but in Hampton, Virginia, over on the Atlantic Ocean side, the coast, a woman an employee of Waffle House, was arrested April 1st after calling police and reporting a robbery at her employer's, the Waffle House. Police say Susan Tinker notified police via the telephone, and when the officers arrived on scene, that the restaurant had been robbed. Officers conducted an investigation, began looking for the suspects in question, called out crime scene, was waiting for the store manager to arrive to review security camera footage. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, you know, this crazy woman, Ms. Tinker, tells law enforcement, ha, 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 April Fools. Police did not take that very well. Neither would I. She put a lot of people's lives in danger. Police officers responding code 3 to the robbery call, taking up resources and time. So Ms. Tinker was arrested and charged with falsely filing a police report. And rightfully so. She should have been charged with, you know, other crimes as well. Also on the east coast of Virginia, in the Eastern Shore area, the Eastern Shore is a beautiful area, and in the last 5 months has been plagued by over 70 arson cases. Police did arrest two suspects today, which they believe are responsible for those arsons. And out of Florida, you may have heard about this, a state trooper was fired for not giving a ticket. You know, many times police get called on the carpet, sometimes even terminated for giving out too many tickets or, you know. But in this case, State Trooper Highway Patrol Officer Charles Swindle stopped a state representative, Charles McBurney, in Jacksonville, Florida, for doing 87 in a 70 miles an hour zone. According to the Florida Highway Patrol, the trooper decided to give the state representative a break and just issued him a minor summons for not having his insurance card with him. You know, some people you can't give a break, but what happened in this case is that the state representative then wrote a letter to the state highway patrol commissioner saying that if the state trooper would let him go, there's no telling how many other people that he let go for speeding and other offenses, and the trooper couldn't be trusted to perform his job. And unfortunately, the trooper was terminated. Well, of course, the trooper and the union is now fighting to get his job back. But the lesson here is that you really need to be across the board in all of your actions and not give any breaks. In my career, both in security and law enforcement, I am very fair and across the board. An officer that I worked with once said, it makes no sense for me not to issue a ticket. It makes no sense for me to stop a person if my intentions is not to enforce the law. If I'm not going to enforce the law, then why would I need to pull the vehicle over? That makes pretty good sense to me. If you're not going to enforce the law, since that is your duties, then why pull the car over? Just ignore it and go on your way. There's going to be some extenuating circumstances. There's going to be times when the person may be maybe an emergency. Maybe the family member just had a heart attack. Maybe they're on the way to the hospital. Or maybe they're an emergency worker that's been called in. And in those legitimate situations, of course, you have to be reasonable. But in this situation, you know, it really just goes to show you that you just can't, you can't be good, you can't be kind to people, because many people will take your kindness for weakness. And in this situation, the officer lost his job.
You are listening to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. brought to you by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization. Broadcasting.
HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today. HirePatriots.com.
For some children, America isn't the land of promise. It's a place where every day is a struggle. Because today in America, one in six children lives below the poverty line. For these children, living in poverty means going without medicine, going without food, going without a warm home, or even a roof over your head. And that's life for nearly 13 million children of all races, all across America. Where will you draw the line and get involved? You can help these children and their families find a way out of poverty for good. And you can make a difference in more ways than you think. Will you help? Go to PovertyUSA.org today. Because one in six children in poverty is one too many. A message from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Welcome back to the Private Officer Beat Radio Show on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. For just a few moments tonight, we're going to be talking about using your skills for the good of community. Next week, we'll be talking on Monday night about senior crime. There has been an increase over the number of years of seniors being involved in violent crime. You wouldn't think that. You would think that at the age of 60, 70, or 80, that people would retire, be quiet, and enjoy the rest of their days. But the U.S. Department of Justice says that many seniors are not aging gracefully. No. You know, there was a joke back in the day about what do criminals do when they get old. And the bottom line was they continue being criminals. And that's what the U.S. Department of Justice is saying. They're seeing many more seniors involved in serious crimes such as robberies, drug trafficking, aggravated assault, rape, sex crimes, pedophiles, murders, and so forth. So we'll be discussing that next week. But tonight, we want to discuss for a few moments about using your skills for the good of the community. Protecting the underdog. I've seen the need for people like you and I all over the country. People like us who have specific skills and training in law enforcement, security, public safety. There's a definite need for us to step up and to volunteer our time, our services, and ourselves to protect the community. There's always been volunteer rescue services, volunteer fire departments, volunteer ambulance squads across the country. Many small communities, towns, and cities, they depend on it. They require it. They need it. They don't have the funds, the tax base, to pay permanent employees to man their fire stations, their rescue squads. And so for many years, the good people of that community have stepped up and they have manned the fire stations. They have responded at all hours of the day and night whenever an emergency happens. Most people don't know this, and this might be a shocking number, but 77% of all fire departments in the United States are volunteer. Your neighbor, members of your community. When we think of fire departments, we think of big fire departments, the New York Fire Department, the Boston Fire Department, our city fire department where we live. But the facts are that 77% of all fire departments are still volunteer, made up of people who are giving of their time, their experience, themselves. There are many volunteer auxiliary police officers in the nation, hundreds and thousands of people who also volunteer their time, give of themselves 24/7 to help their local police department, to provide extended services to their community. Not because they're cop wannabes, not because these are fire wannabes, not because these are people just in it for themselves, but these are caring, good community people who want to make a difference. I tell you this today because we're seeing a need across the country for security assistance. Private security in the U.S. is a $200 billion business, $200 billion industry. Everybody's out to make a buck. Everybody's out for themselves. While this is good in the business community, while this is good for the entrepreneur, it's not always good for hometown charities, churches, and companies who need the protection but can't afford it. I myself do not have the time, though I have the expertise, I don't have the time to go out and volunteer my time as much as I would like. But if I had all the time in the world, if I didn't have businesses, if I didn't have responsibilities, not only would I help out in the soup kitchens and the homeless shelters, but I would help out in with the skills that I have, my security, law enforcement, public safety, EMS skills. I would volunteer to secure locations who need security. As a security professional, as a trained member of the community, we need, and I strongly recommend that our chapters of POI especially get involved in providing security assistance for churches, Salvation Army, the Goodwill store, the local homeless shelter, the soup kitchen, the various nonprofits in your city or town community that needs your services. Well, I don't have a security company license. I don't even have a security guard license anymore. I let that go. Well, lucky for you that there's no state in the U.S. that requires a security volunteer to be licensed. You do not need a license to volunteer to be a security officer at the homeless shelter. You do not need a business license to offer your services at the local church or Salvation Army. As long as no money exchanges hands, no marketing is done for paid services, and you are strictly donating your time, your services, your skills, your expertise, there is no requirement for any license, no regulatory commission or agency who will come in and say, you can't do that. Some of us have 10s and 20s and 30 years of experience. Maybe once a month you can stand watch at the homeless shelter. Maybe you can give up your time to protect a Habitat of Humanity building site. Many times these habitat sites are burglarized, expensive equipment stolen, supplies that they don't have money to replace are taken by stupid people, criminals, people who have no common sense and no heart. Maybe you can volunteer. Maybe you're not good at swinging the hammer. Maybe you're not good at painting, but you can certainly go down to your local Habitat for Humanity and say, I'm willing to put my experience to work on the job site at night, one night a week, a couple nights a month, until the house is completed. Sometimes in our community, we have to put aside the almighty dollar. Sometimes in life, we have to understand that it's not all about making money. It's not all about seeing what we can get, but rather what we can give. Having the experience, the training, and the knowledge of security, law enforcement, public safety is just like having a trade. Many people volunteer their time to help out in the community in various ways. And what I'm suggesting today is that we volunteer our trade, our services, our experience to protect our community. Maybe in ways that you never considered before, maybe in ways that the community never thought of before. Certainly, we can volunteer in times of crisis, natural disasters, neighborhood watches, community patrols. A number of schools across the country have had for quite some time parents and other community volunteers who patrol the school during opening hours. You don't have to be in uniform. You don't have to carry a gun. You just have to be an extra set of eyes and ears and be alert to what's going on campus. It's time that we get involved. Help our neighbors. It'll make you feel better. It'll make you feel like you've done something for your neighbors, your community, and it'll make a difference in their lives and in yours. I wanted to give you a little different perspective about volunteering because many times people don't think of security training or certification or law enforcement experience as something that really can be done or used in a volunteer sense, but it can be. And I want to encourage you to use your skills, your experience for the good of the community without thinking about yourself, without thinking about your wallet. I've learned one thing, that if you do the right thing, even when it's an inconvenience, even when it's not for money, that the good will come back to you. You know, the Chinese have a saying about doing the good and the good will follow you. And many different religions talk about sowing the seed and things of that nature. And this is one of those areas where we can sow the seed. We can do good and not expect anything in return. But often, you will be blessed. Things will happen. In the many years that I volunteered as a firefighter, EMT, rescue squad, and spent many of my nights, instead of sleeping out in the cold, the wet, helping others, I have been the one who prospered. I have been the one who was blessed and benefited from giving of my time and myself. And it wasn't all about money. There are many different areas, different charities, nonprofits in your community who would benefit from your experience, your skills, your training. And I really want to encourage you to go out and investigate and look into your neighborhood to see where you can make a difference. Maybe it will be swinging the hammer. Maybe it will be painting at the habitat home under construction. Or maybe it'll be just providing security at the community shelter or the nonprofit event. Or maybe a couple of hours a month or a week at your local school, just walking around the property during school days, being an extra set of eyes, ears, being alert. We do have something that many other people don't have. We do have that training. We do have that experience. Now it's up to you to put it to good use. That's all for this episode of Private Officer Beat. I want to thank each and every one of you for being with us on this episode, and be looking forward to all the great stuff that Private Officer International is involved in. We do have a number of other great big things that we're going to be announcing in the upcoming weeks. Remember, the Security Officer Yearly Awards, we'll be sending out that nomination form this week, and also the induction into the Private Officer Hall of Fame. And we want to encourage you to become involved in your local chapter if you're not already, or initiate a chapter in your area. If you're not a member, we definitely want to invite you to join. Go to our website at www.privateofficer.com. Till the next time, be safe, be blessed, and we will see you back here on the radio.